Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I want to start by saying something as you're turning. Tonight, I need your mind. For some of you, that's going to be unique. But I really do. I need you to be thinking. I need you to be listening. I need you to be paying attention because I don't want you to misconstrue some statements. They'll be contrary in appearance to what you probably have been taught, but they're scriptural in nature, and I want to help you with something. I've even kind of said some things wrong, or not necessarily wrong, but not quite in line with what I'll teach tonight. So part of this is me correcting even some of the things I say, but I want to help you tonight in a special way. Galatians chapter 5, this is the last lesson on our series on the love of God, God's love, and we're going to start a new series here starting next week, but I wanted to finish it off with this. Galatians 5, let's start reading in verse 22, you follow along silently. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, this is the 20th lesson on God's love. I will never understand it totally. God's love is greater than we could understand, but I think you have a better understanding of it. I think you have a better idea of what it is and a recognition of it. But to me, I want to finish with what I think the truth about God's love that could impact more people for eternity longer than any other truth. And that's what I want you to think with me here tonight. God has given the saved person two things to help us live spiritually. Let me say it this way. Before a person gets saved, they are just body and soul. Their spirit is dead.
Yes.
When you get saved, your spirit is reborn. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and 4 and 5, Nicodemus was with Jesus, and he said that that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
Amen.
That which is born of our spirit is born by the Holy Spirit. Okay? And if you go to John 3, in verses 4 and 5, you'll see there's one that's capitalized, one that's not. So it's the Holy Spirit that rebirths man's spirit. That's what being born again is all about. And that spirit stays in us. We call it the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I will give you a comforter. He will dwell in you. That is the Holy Spirit of God. So when a person gets saved, they trust Christ as Savior. The Holy Spirit regenerates, regenes, regeneticizes our spirit so that it can live forever, not die forever. And that is the rebirth. Now, I say that to say this. So God gives us the Holy Spirit. But then God also gave us the Word of God. So we have the Holy Spirit and we have God's words that help us live spiritually, fleshly, live our life as God wants us to live. He gave us two things to help us. He gave us the Holy Spirit, and he gives us the words of God. By the way, and I'll say this in a little while, that's why I'll fight for the words of God. And the Holy Spirit only can work within the confines of that book right there. He can't work outside of God's word because the Holy Spirit is God. And the word of God is Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, verse 14. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
That's right.
So you have Jesus in the word of God. You have the Holy Spirit, which is another part of God. And that gives us the ability to live a spiritual life, though we're sinners, while we're here on earth. Now, I say that to say this. The Holy Spirit is what works with us and God's words to help us live spiritually. Now, I want you to take your Bible, turn to John chapter 15. I'm not losing my brain. I know we started in Galatians 5. We will come back. John chapter 15. And I need you to pay attention really much from here on. I'm going to read the first five verses to you. And I want you to follow me carefully. I am the vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. So, God tells us, after we get saved, he wants us to bear fruit, correct? And by the way, I've heard people say, and I've heard people try to teach that if you don't go out and win people to Christ, you can lose your salvation. God's going to remove you. God will kill you. And since it says he'll burn you in the fires of men, that means that you're going to be burning in hell. They got a hole big enough to drive 3 Mack trucks through in their head, trust me. That is not what this is teaching. But we find here, God says, I want you to bear fruit. I want you to bear more fruit, and I want you to bear much fruit. Now notice what he said there. He said, I want you to bear fruit. Later he says that you can bring forth more fruit. And then verse 5, that you bear much fruit. All right? Now, soul winning is the main job of the Christian. Let me say that again. Soul winning is the main job of the Christian. So, everybody awake? What's the main job of the Christian?
Soul winning.
That means everything we do should be about soul winning. Seeing people get saved. We have Wednesday night church, not to go out soul winning, but to teach you the word of God, to keep you encouraged, to get you to go out, win people to Christ, to bring them to church, and see God change their life. Youth activities and Sunday school activities and Sunday school classes and all those different things that we're adding as we can and doing what we can with. Say, what are those for? To keep everybody energized enough to go out and go. Okay, that was weak. You sounded like Methodist on that one. All those things are so that we can go out and do what?
Soul winning.
There you go. That's a little better. Now, the main job of the Christian, then, is to go soul winning or to see people get saved. That is the main job. Now, getting people cleaned up so that they can get people saved, and after we get them saved, get them to church, get them baptized, and teach them to go out and do what? Go soul winning. That's called the Great Commission, is it not?
Yes, sir.
That's what the Great Commission is all about. Now, here's where I'm going to correct me, preachers, and probably what you have been taught. We sometimes think that the fruit of the Christian is another Christian. And that is not true. I'm sure I've said it. But that's not true. Brother Stoltz, I know you've seen this. I've seen it. Many of you have seen it. Did you know that a lost person can win people to Christ? I've watched people out soul winning. I took a fellow out soul winning for 3 or 4 weeks in a row. I got done winning several people to the Lord. He stopped me on the street and said, Brother Bush, I never did what we just did with those people. I don't think I'm saved. I stood on a street corner and won my soul winning partner to the Lord. Now, wait a minute. I had watched him win people to the Lord. He had actually won people to Christ. How many of you have ever seen that or something similar to that happen? You won't believe this. Cross my heart and hope Brother Lopez dies. Brother June, I was in Michigan. I was preaching in Michigan. Matter of fact, I was at a preaching meeting. I wasn't preaching that night, but somebody else did. I watched a pastor who had a group of people at the church walk an aisle, get saved, and got baptized that night. He was a Baptist preacher. Were you with me that night? I don't remember if you were. I watched a Baptist. I think Brother Hiles was preaching that night. And he came down. He said, what should I do? He said, get saved. He said, what should I do next? He said, get baptized here. He said, but I got my people here. He said, good. He said, go home, preach on soul winning the salvation next Sunday and see how many people get saved and get baptized. And that's what he did. Now, wait a minute. Lost people, listen to this. It's not dependent on the person giving the gospel. It is somebody getting saved is the fruit of the gospel, not the fruit of the soul winner. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm not going to fight anybody that gets the gospel out. I may not associate with them because they're going a different direction, but I'm not going to say their converts didn't get saved. Say why? Because I've seen people get saved without a soul winner. I know people who have read a gospel tract and got saved. Didn't have a soul winner. How'd that take place? So somebody getting saved is the fruit of the gospel, not the fruit of the presenter of the gospel. Everybody understand that? So the fruit of the Christian then is not another Christian. Everybody doing okay? Okay, now listen to me very carefully here. The Bible says, matter of fact, some plant, some water, but who gives the increase? Okay, who gives the increase? God gives the increase. Okay, some of you are whispering it, all right? This is to take advantage of talking the right way in my sermons, all right? So some plant, some water, who gives the increase?
God.
There you go, God does. So it's not dependent on the soul winner. It's dependent on God. Now, listen to me carefully. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, I want you to use your Bible because I want you to see something here. By the way, I'm not teaching false doctrine. I'm teaching you pure Bible doctrine. I'm using terminology in a biblical way. By the way, I haven't always used it right. You're looking at your preacher correcting himself, just so you know. I'm not so big I can't say I've not said some things right. Look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30. Now watch this. I want you to pay attention to every word. The fruit of the righteous. Now stop. Look at me for a second. The righteous. What does that word righteous mean?
Saved.
As is written, there's none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:10. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Going about establishing their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 10, verses number 3 and 4. So salvation is an act of us taking our unrighteousness, submitting to the righteousness of God, and Jesus imputing his righteousness on our account. Correct?
That's right. Amen.
So, the Bible says here, Proverbs chapter 11, the fruit of the righteous, the fruit of the saved person, is a, what's the next word? Does it say a soul? Does it say a fruit? No, it says a tree. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Now, so the fruit of a Christian is a tree, not a piece of fruit. Now, everybody doing okay? Hang on, we're going somewhere. A saved person's fruit is a tree, not a basket full of fruit. A saved person's fruit can turn into an orchard. God wants your life to be an orchard, not a basket of fruit. God wants your fruit to be not just an orchard. He wants it to be many orchards all over the world. So, everybody doing okay? If we were talking apples, Apple Blossom Fest was a few weeks ago and decimated the bus routes. You say, what's an apple? An apple is a seed pod. Now, you can eat the fruit of that apple, but inside every apple, there are what?
Seeds.
Matter of fact, the average apple has 4 to 6 seeds in it. That means there's potential of 4 to 6 trees.
God made it to where that fruit is there so that when it falls to the ground, that fruit actually rots around that seed to give it nutrients as it sinks into the soil to allow the potential for a tree to be born from that fruit, correct? All right. Now, in Bible days, they didn't go down to the local TSC and buy all their seed. They didn't go to the feed and grain store and buy all their feed and grain. They went. They raised their crops. They kept some of their best crop, and they would use it for seed for the next year. And that's how they got their seed. Some of the fruit from what they grew was used as seed to perpetuate and keep things going. Everybody understand that? But I want you to notice Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree. A tree is more than just a piece of fruit. A tree bears fruit for many, 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 many years. Matter of fact, it bears more than just one piece of fruit. If you had an apple tree and it only had one apple on it ever in its life, you'd chop the stupid thing down if you were counting on it for fruit. Say why? Because it's not bearing fruit. Everybody doing okay? So God says, listen with me here, he's more satisfied with Christians who become orchards and orchard planters. He's accepted, he'll accept fruit. But the fruit of the Christian is not another person getting saved. The fruit of the Christian is planting fruit trees. That's what the Great Commission is all about. Get people saved, get them baptized, and teach them to go out and go get people saved and get them baptized, to teach them to go out and get people saved and get people baptized. That's called planting a vineyard, not just seeing somebody saved. Now, I'm for getting everybody saved we can get saved. By the way, even the Creator himself knew he'd put 4 to 6 apple seeds in every apple to potentially get one tree. Not all those seeds will make it. He even knew that. God even knew in the laws of nature that not every seed would grow a tree. Everybody doing okay? God wants us to have the fruit of the Spirit, not the works of the flesh. Go back to Galatians chapter 5. Is that clock really right? We must have started really early. No, that clock is 10 minutes off. That clock is the problem. It's not the batteries. Okay. Whew. I thought, there's no way it can be 7:25. You guys are in trouble. I'll try to keep myself focused, all right? I'm sorry, but I'm not used to speaking as long as I have and it only being 25 after 7. God wants us to have the fruit of the Spirit, not the works of the flesh. Now watch this. When a person gets saved, we have the Word of God, and we also have the what?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Huh. So we have the Bible, and we have the Holy Spirit. God says that the fruit of a Christian is a what?
Tree.
Now watch this. Look at verse 22 again. But the fruit of the Spirit. Where does the Spirit dwell?
In the Christian.
In the Christian. Which means that's our fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, faith, meekness, temperance. Though that is the fruit of the Spirit. Now look at me for a moment here. All of this fruit is to be used so that we can see more people get saved, their lives built, turn into a tree, not just a bush, turn into a tree and become a fruit-bearing tree. So that he can go out and grab Miss April there. Don't touch her, but have her stand up there. And win her to the Lord. She really needs to get saved. And get that person saved. And the fruit of the Spirit is to get her so that she can grow into a tree and bear fruit for a long period of time. It's not just me going out and getting him saved and saying, ha, did my job, did what I was supposed to do. I obeyed God. That's all that matters. You didn't fully obey him because he wants you to be a tree, not just a picker. Okay, you two can have a seat. Thank you very much. Now, everybody doing all right? So the fruit of the Spirit is for us to be able to have the right kind of
and I'm, please don't use this word against me, but to have the right kind of personality to where we can reach more people and teach more people and grow more people to be fruit trees, not just fruit. Amen. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. Now, watch this very carefully here. It's so that we can get more people saved, keep the door open longer to see more people get saved, and build saved people and train saved people.
I love all people. There's very few people in this world I struggle getting along with. My wife will tell you, I can even get along with my enemies most of the time. If I can't, it's not my fault, it's theirs. I really can. But may I say something? I enjoy influencing every person I can. But I especially enjoy, now listen to this carefully, I especially enjoy pastors and preachers in my line of work. Say why? Because if I can keep them encouraged, they're going to other orchards and building more orchards. They have an influence over many orchards, not just their orchard. If each of you is its own orchard, and I can influence, let's say, 20 preachers, and if 20 preachers average, let's say, 200 in church, I just influenced 4,000 orchards, not just one tree. Now, I'm for each and every individual tree. But if I could influence 4,000 orchards, not 4,000 trees, by keeping the preacher going, I've increased my value and I've increased my ability to reproduce. Does that make sense to everybody? Now, listen to this very carefully. That clock is going to bother me. I'm going to keep my phone out and just check it from time to time here. I live and die by a clock, folks. I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you, Brother Barnes. That will remind me to push the button here. Because you guys don't need to be here as long as I could talk. All right. So, shut up. That was not the time to speak. I know it was. That's why I said shut up. Just because he got a good report from the doctor doesn't mean he's going to live forever. Okay. Now, I want you to notice something. Love is the first fruit of the Spirit. God says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. We've been talking about God's love. 1 John 4:7-8, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Can I tell you something? Love is the first fruit because that is what God is. Amen. God is love. But did you know that God wants you to plant your love in your tree and in your orchard so that your orchard can be healthier? I'm going to tell you something about soul winning. Everybody look at me. It's not always fun. Nobody enjoys getting doors slammed in their face, getting cussed out, getting, you can't do that here, that's soliciting, getting all the people wanting to get contrary with you. There are some days it's not enjoyable. When it's raining outside, it's not enjoyable. When it's cold outside, it's not enjoyable. When it's 177 degrees outside and you're melting, it's not enjoyable. I understand. God didn't say, go do it because it's enjoyable. You do it because you love Him and you love people and you love getting an orchard built by the people that we meet through that process. Amen. So, this love is not the love of self and what we want. It's loving somebody else more than loving what you want. Do you know to go soul winning? You have to give up what you want to go do what God says to?
Yes, sir.
I guarantee you, my neighbors think I am totally insane. They have no concept. If my neighbors really knew what I do all the time, they would look at me even more weird. They really would. My children have won all of our neighbors to the Lord. Literally, all of them. You say, why is that? Because we've built a good reputation in our neighborhood. I've brought my neighbors to church. I got one neighbor, and they can get a little wild sometimes. They said, as soon as you get your new building up, we're going to come. And they asked my wife if we were having stained glass. Nope. Now, wait a minute. Fruit is one thing, but God wants you to plant trees, not just bear fruit. Your fruit is a tree or a orchard potential. Now, listen to me very carefully. The more love grows, the more fruit it can produce that can be planted to grow more love. So you must plant your love with your tree of life so that it can bear more fruit. How many of you use fertilizer from time to time with your plants? Some type, okay? Why is that? To give it more nutrients so it can produce more fruit, more growth, more flowers, more whatever, more weeds. Whatever you're planting. You say, why do you do that? You're feeding it so that it's healthier, so that it can bear more fruit. Can I tell you something? The more fruit you bear, the more potential seeds and potential plantings you have down the road. Do you know you're going to win more people with love than you will with a bad attitude? Brother Stoltz, come on up here. You're my soul winning partner tonight. If we went up and knocked on the door, this guy comes to the door. Come on, get up. Hey, I'm here from the church. Supposed to be out here. Do you go to church anywhere? Do you think he's going to listen to me? That doesn't show much love, does it? No, sir. Can I tell you something? You're not going to reach a lot of people that way. Be careful when you're soul winning that you're not bickering and complaining and whining and fussing and feuding and gossiping between houses, because there are people that can hear what you're saying. You're going to win them. Hey, my name is Pastor Craig Bush. Go to Grace Baptist Church. You go to church anywhere, Doc? Huh? Where do you work? It says Recurrent?
What? Rockville.
Rockville. Man, that's a long drive every day. And you begin to converse with somebody. Have a seat. I'm going to teach you something about soul winning. Have a seat, Brother Stoltz. You don't win somebody's soul and they get to heaven. It's not their soul that gets reborn. They're already a body and a
soul.
My job as a soul winner is to reach close enough to that man, keep the door open long enough to get that book open, to teach him the gospel, to see if he'll get saved. I'm not winning his soul to Christ. His spirit gets saved.
Yes, sir.
My soul is to communicate with his soul. And the only way it does that, if I have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness. I have to have that love, that sincerity. What was it, a year or two ago? Some dude knocked on my door on a Saturday afternoon. Some college bubba was trying to sell me magazines. Standing there in shorts and flip-flops and a tank top. He said, man, this is my last day. I got to sell one more. I mean, he didn't tell me who he was, where he was from. Nothing. Just that he had to sell a magazine. I know I shouldn't have done it, Brother June. But I looked at him and I said, who are you? Where are you from? He said, what's that matter? And I said, young man, I think. I said, you don't know who you're talking to. I said, I'll promise you, I've knocked on more doors in my lifetime than you'll ever see in your lifetime. I said, I'm a Baptist preacher that understands soul winning and knocking on doors telling people how to get saved so they don't have to burn in hell someday. I said, I've knocked on hundreds of thousands, if not millions of doors. I said, I wouldn't tell you where the toilet was, the way you came to my door. I said, whoever you're representing, you don't do a very good job. I said, no, I'm not interested. Caught me on a bad day, amen. I thought, there's no way
I don't care what magazines he was selling.
I don't know if it was Good News for Bad Monkeys or Better Lawns and Gardens or whatever. I have no idea. He never even told me. He just complained about how hot it was and that he had to sell one more subscription so he could go back. Wait a minute. I don't think he probably sold very many. I try to reach people with the fruit of the Spirit, love. You gotta prove your sincerity. My wife and I were together knocking on doors one day for a big day. This guy, this lady said, or I don't know if it was a man or a woman anymore. They said, "Man, you guys were here just a few months ago. Are you guys that hard up for church members?" I said, "Yeah, you don't go, so we need you." They thought they were going to offend me. Didn't work. Didn't work. So, we're to love is the first fruit of the Spirit. Now, listen to this statement. We grow the fruit of the Spirit by the Word of God. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. This is good stuff, whether you know it or not. I know it's hot. I know it's not real comfortable in here, but and I'm sweating like all get out. Psalm 1, I'm going to start reading. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Watch this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's the Bible. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Watch this. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Notice, God says that the Christian is a tree by a river that bears fruit. And it happens by delighting in the law of the Lord. Do you know you don't love people without loving the Word of God and having a big dose of it in you? Man, I meet people sometimes and they really push my button. It takes everything I have not to come unscrewed on them every once in a while. I've often said, if I ever lose my mind, don't get around me, I'll be in the flesh. Because there's a whole lot bottled up inside here that should not be said. Okay? Say, why is that? Because of love. I was speaking with someone recently, and they were attacking somebody. And I mean attacking them viciously. But this person was not well. They were mentally not well. They have a mental disorder at this point in time. I understood that, knew that. Any other person, I probably would have put that fist all the way from their nose down to their toenails. But I did not. I stopped them several times and said, let's not go there. And I'm trying to help that person. Anybody else, there's no way I'd tolerated that. But this person is truly not well. I mean, really not well. I love that person. I'm trying to help that person. Everybody understand that? There are times you have to tolerate somebody because you love them so that you can help them. You fall down and break your arm or your leg. You go to the doctor and they've got to hurt you to set that bone. Sometimes they have to hurt you to help you.
Right.
They don't like hurting you, but they do like the process of you getting well so that you're not deformed the rest of your life. Now, the Holy Spirit will guide you as you read the words of God and allow it to help you. We're going to take our Bibles, turn to a couple other places. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. Man, there's so many things. Push the button. Okay. Ephesians 5, look at verse number 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and, what's the next word? The truth is the what? Word of God. Look down in verse 26, same chapter, Ephesians 5, verse 26. That he might sanctify and
cleanse it with the washing of the water by the
word.
Huh. So God is going to use the Word of God with the Holy Spirit of God to make us be filled with the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Do you know the closer you get to that book, the more you'll love? By the way, the farther away from you get it, the less love there is. The liberals try to replace love with, oh, don't you just feel this? Let's have a feeling. Gag. Vomit. One of the newer things in quote-unquote churches these days. They don't want to disrupt the spiritual flow of a church service. So we're no longer going to give church announcements in the middle of the service. We're going to put them on the screen and just have them flash at the end of the service or between the invitation and baptisms if we have any. And people can just read them on their way out. We'll digitize them and have people talking and do them all or whatever. But we're not going to give them because it'll disrupt the spirit of the service. They don't have the sense God gave an animal cracker. They really don't. I can give you 10 churches that are doing that right now. 10 that I know of. Not one, not two, a bunch. Say, what are announcements for? Part of the announcements are for the crowd and the pastor to get warmed up to one another so that you'll receive the preaching later.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? Okay, look at John chapter 7 real quick. Ooh. John chapter 7, verse number 38. Wait a minute, that's John chapter 6. I need to be in John chapter 7. John chapter 7, there we go. Whew, that looks a whole lot better. Look at verse number 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. The Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified.
Notice, he likens the Bible to water, and he says, while Jesus hadn't resurrected yet, he hadn't indwelled all the believers. But at the resurrection, the Holy Spirit began indwelling all the believers. By the way, that's what Pentecost was. And before Pentecost, it was the beginning of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God upon every believer. Now, everybody look at me for a second here. The Bible is the words of life, or the words that unlock life in the seed plants to let those plants grow into trees. The Bible supplies the nutrients to produce more fruit and many pickings over many years. Trees don't give fruit one time and they're done. They give fruit year after year after year. Some trees bear fruit two times a year. Orange trees down in Florida, they'll bear twice a year. Say why? Because as long as you keep those things going, keep them watered, keep them fed, they'll keep bearing fruit a couple times a year. Now, the Christian is supposed to be the same way. We're not supposed to have one person get saved and say, I did my job. Oh, no, 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 no. Love can only produce love if love is added to the tree that you have. I've got to hurry real quickly here. Number three, and I'm done. I mean that. Fruit trees need pruned to be the most productive and keep producing fruit. Do you know that fruit trees have to be pruned to be productive?
Yes, sir.
You have to... turn to John chapter 15 again. We were there just a little while ago, but let's look at John 15, just a few pages over. John chapter 15, look at verse number 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, Brother Stoltz, stand up here for a second. You're going to be a tree. Hold your arms out. Let's say Brother Stoltz is a fruit tree. He's a fruit, but we're not sure if he's a tree yet. Let's say Brother Stoltz is bearing fruit here, and he's bearing fruit here on his tie,
He's bearing fruit in his pocket. But let's say this branch right here doesn't have any fruit on it. What are you going to do? You're going to cut it off. As long as this one's still got fruit on it, you're going to let it go. But it might get little branches that grow off of it that don't bear fruit. So what are you going to do to those? Cut them off. You're going to leave the branches on that bear fruit. Because all these other branches, you leave this branch on, and it's stealing the food and the nutrients and the water away from everything that's bearing fruit. And you won't have as much fruit or as good a fruit as you would had you not cut it off. I did not hurt him, did I? Okay. He was moving it. I barely touched it, just so you know. Thank you, Brother Stoltz. You can have a seat and put your arms down. Believe me, we're all thankful you put them down. Now, may I say something? Cutting branches out doesn't destroy the tree. You prune the tree to make it more productive. People don't lose their salvation because God prunes them. John 15, 2 and 3 is talking about pruning the Christian, not discarding an entire life. You're cutting out of that life which is not productive.
Yes, sir.
Now watch this. Okay, my tomatoes are starting to grow. I got about 4 or 5 tomatoes out there that are about that big. Now, as they start growing more and more, now listen to me, there are branches on a tomato plant that will grow, but they don't have any blossoms or any tomatoes on them. So you go out there every couple weeks and you start picking those off. They're called suckers. You start suckering your tomato plants. Because if you allow those to grow, it's stealing all the nutrients and you'll have less tomatoes and less quality tomatoes. So you pinch off all those other little pieces that don't produce fruit. That's what John 15, 2 and 3 is talking about here. It doesn't stop being a tomato plant. You're not a branch. You're to be a tree. You're supposed to be a tree that has the ability to produce an orchard. And many, many, many orchards throughout the life of your life. Preaching is pruning. Every once in a while, the preacher gets up and preaches on your sin and stomps on your toes. Amen. You say, why? Because I'm trying to cut that out of your life, that which does not need to be there. Reading the Bible sometimes should convict you and say, ugh, I haven't been doing that the way I should. Maybe I haven't been doing that at all. Maybe I've been doing that and I shouldn't be doing that. That's called pruning out of your life. And the Holy Spirit lets you know what that which it should be. We need to prune our love so that it can keep reproducing, not be selfish. You know, we're so selfish with our love. We'll love as long as we get something back for it. I'll love you as long as you do something back for me. But when you quit doing what I want you to do, then you don't love me. That's not true. Love is satisfied in giving, not what it gets back. Now, when we try to love someone and it doesn't go well, prune it out and try something else. You know, every once in a while, you're not as right as you think you are, and neither am I. Every once in a while, you got to say, I blew it. I shouldn't have reacted that way. I shouldn't have done that. I was talking to someone today, teaching them how to not react the wrong way. Spent 25 minutes on the phone with them. The whole conversation was about you love them by not reacting to when they're trying to attack you. That was the whole point of the conversation. We're to prune our own selfish desires so that it doesn't deplete the fruit of love. Pruning doesn't mean you cut the tree down. Here's the general person. Well, bless God, if you don't like it, I'll just cut the whole thing down. Well, that just really solved a whole lot of problems, didn't it? We go from one extreme to the other. Just because somebody doesn't see it your way, you don't go to the orchard and cut down all the trees.
You got one worm and one apple, and you want to cut the whole tree down and then cut the whole orchard down because it might have more worms. Well, take the bite out, spit the worm out, and keep on chewing, amen? As long as they're not wiggling in your teeth, don't worry about it. And if it is, use it for dental floss. Pruning doesn't mean you cut the tree down. You just cut out that which is not productive. That's what preaching is. That's what church is for. That's what growing in the Lord is all about. Same is true with our love. Fellas, if you tried something and trying to love your wife and it didn't work, don't do it again. Just because you did it doesn't mean it worked well. Well, it was the thought that counts. Sometimes you better rethink. Kind of like your GPS, recalculate. Okay? Let me sum all this up. Whew, it's 8:03. Good. To sum it all up, God wants us to be a tree, not just a piece or a basket of fruit. He wants us to use the fruit of the Spirit to keep our tree productive so that many trees and many orchards can be produced by our lives. One illustration, I'm done. This has happened to me and my wife over and over and over and over and over and over again. We were in South Carolina. I started young couples class. We met up with a young Navy couple. He was a brainiac. She was a little bit, high strung. She wouldn't get saved. She'd been to Bible college and wasn't saved. One night, finally, about 12:30 at night, my wife and I, after hours of battling with her, we won her to Christ. She no sooner got home, and her husband got back about 6 in the morning. Next morning, it was Sunday. They were in my Sunday school class. I got done teaching Sunday school. Ryan came up to me sobbing and said, "I got to get saved." I knelt down in Sunday school class, won him to Christ. I baptized them both an hour later after church was over. They're now missionaries in Belize. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. We were trees. We had fruit. We reproduced 2 more trees. I wonder how many people that they have won to Christ who are now soul winners, and they're planting an orchard in a different part of the world, and they actually have people that have gone through their ministry that are going out from their ministry as missionaries to other places. I could show you that by the scores. I'm not the greatest example of it, but I wonder, Mr. Humphreys never knew what happened to a little boy got saved in junior church, primary church one day. But man, that man planted a tree that turned into an orchard. Can I tell you something? God doesn't want you just to be a piece of fruit. He wants you to be a tree. He doesn't want you just to be a tree. He wants you to be a tree of life. A tree that produces life and other trees that live. God wants an orchard, not just fruit. That's how you get fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Fruit by the fruit of the Spirit. More fruit by your tree bearing fruit, and much fruit by the trees that spawn off of your tree that you planted, and they become trees and orchards all over the world. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit by the fruit of the Spirit. That's what God's love is all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. My goal is not to confuse, but to clarify. The job of every Christian is to see people get saved, to get the gospel out. It's God's job to save them. Our job to get the gospel out. But we as Christians need to have more of the fruit of the Spirit and start planting trees.